Ready for a trip. We're stepping right into the Vatican, but not just any room, no. We're talking the Pope's private library.
Bold move.
It is. Because we're diving deep into Raphael's School of Athens. You know, that fresco, absolutely bursting with, well, philosophical heavy hitters. And artistic genius, of course.
It's one thing to paint a scene, right? But Raphael, he's created, well, more like a whole conversation about knowledge itself, wouldn't you say?
It's true. Right off the bat, I mean, the scale of it just hits you. Imagine commissioning some art for your library, right?
Yeah.
Ending up with this massive fresco, basically taking over a whole wall.
Can't say I've had that experience, no.
It makes you realize, though, how much the Renaissance, they really valued, I mean, really valued intellectual pursuits.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it really is like walking into a visual encyclopedia of knowledge, especially with the other frescoes in those rooms. You've got theology, law, literature, it's all connected.
And even before we get to the individual thinkers, even the setting itself, it's like it's bursting with symbolism.
Couldn't agree more. Just take the architecture, for example. Raphael's not exactly going for historical accuracy here, not with ancient Athens. Instead, you've got these grand Roman arches and the whole layout, it's based on a Greek cross, if you can believe it.
Okay, see, now that is a fascinating detail. It's almost as if he's, what, visually representing, like, the fusion of pagan philosophy and Christian theology.
Yeah.
Right there in the architecture.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, a hallmark of the Renaissance, would
yeah.
you say?
Exactly. And right in the heart of this grand space, like right at the very center of it all, stand the giants. The giants of Greek philosophy, that is, Plato and Aristotle. Locked in this silent debate that still resonates today.
And they're not just standing there idly, are they? No. Plato, he's pointing upwards, right? Towards the heavens, as if to say, hey, the truth. Well, it lies in the realm of ideas.
And then there's Aristotle. Grounded, firm, hand outstretched towards, well, towards us, towards the world. Hold on, he seems to be saying, let's look at the evidence, at what we can observe.
It's amazing how Raphael uses perspective here. He's drawing our eyes right to this central debate, placing those two figures, Plato and Aristotle, right at the vanishing point. It's like he's saying, this right here, this is the fundamental question. Where do you even begin to unpack that?
And that's what's so brilliant, isn't it? The fresco, it doesn't give you easy answers. No, it sparks a conversation. Are you drawn to Plato's realm of these abstract forms? Or do you find yourself siding with Aristotle's emphasis on empirical observation? Or, and here's a thought, could it be about finding a kind of a harmony between the two?
He's challenging us to think critically, just like the very philosophers he's depicting. And as if this whole philosophical showdown wasn't enough, the fresco is packed. I mean, absolutely teeming with recognizable figures, all from antiquity, of course.
It's like a who's who of ancient geniuses. Over there, you'll spot Socrates, deep in conversation, no doubt. And look, there's Pythagoras, unraveling the secrets of numbers, naturally. And oh, over there, that's Euclid. Or wait, is that Bramante, the architect, in disguise, demonstrating some geometrical wizardry. What do you think? Is that Raphael being playful, or is he just showing off his connections a bit?
I'd say it's definitely a flex, wouldn't you? But also makes you think, like, what was his thought process behind each figure? If you were creating your ultimate school of Athens, who would get an invite?
Good question. And that's where it gets even more interesting. Because not every figure has, like, a confirmed identity. Take that brooding figure in the corner there, often yeah. labeled as Heraclitus, the philosopher of change.
Right. Everything flows and all that.
Exactly. But, and here's the kicker, some scholars, they suggest it could be, get this, a portrait of Michelangelo himself.
Michelangelo, hiding in plain sight. Well, that would be fitting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The master of dynamism and movement, representing a philosopher who, well, believed that everything flows. But hold on, something else just struck me. It's not just a Greek party, is it?
You're catching on. And that brings us to another key figure, Averroes, the great Islamic scholar. And he's just seamlessly integrated into this whole assembly of thinkers.
Okay, now that is a powerful statement. Raphael yep. is making it clear. The pursuit of knowledge, it doesn't have any boundaries. It goes beyond cultures, beyond geography.
Exactly. He's presenting this vision of intellectual curiosity as something universal, a shared human endeavor.
You're right. It makes you look at the whole fresco completely differently. There's this incredible sense of interconnectedness, a conversation spanning, what, centuries and continents. But tell me, who is that lone figure sitting on the steps there? He seems so detached from all the action. It's Diogenes, right?
Ah, good eye. Yes, that's Diogenes. You know, the cynic, famous for living in a barrel, rejecting material possessions, the whole bit.
Yeah, Diogenes always marching to the beat of his own drum.
Exactly, exactly. It's like he's deliberately outside that main action, you know?
It's true.
And it kind of makes you wonder, right? Is Raphael, is he trying to say something about the different paths to knowledge?
Oh, interesting.
Like maybe even acknowledging those who, you know, challenge the usual way of thinking, the ones who find wisdom in unexpected places.
I like that. It's a good reminder, isn't it? That
yeah.
Pursuing knowledge, I mean, it's not always about these grand pronouncements, right, or these really elaborate theories.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's about, what, stripping things back, questioning absolutely everything.
100%. And speaking of questioning, check this out. Look closely at the archway, the one framing the whole scene.
Oh, you mean that repeating geometric design?
Yeah, exactly. It does look a bit like a maze, doesn't it?
It does. It does. What's the story there?
Okay, so it's called a meander. And back in ancient Greece, this pattern, it symbolized the interconnectedness of, well, life, really. The idea that everything is in flux, constantly flowing.
So even those are architectural details. Even those are adding these layers of meaning, reminding us of how vast and complex knowledge actually is.
Hmm.
Which, speaking of, makes me think about those two statues in the background. Those have to be important,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't just casually throw in Apollo and Athena into a scene like this, do you?
You're definitely catching on. Okay, so on one side, you've got Apollo, god of light, music, reason, holding his lyre.
Right, right.
And on the other side, Athena, goddess of wisdom, strategic warfare, you know, the whole shebang.
So it's not just about, like, raw brain power that's being celebrated here. It's
mm-hmm.
creativity, intuition, even a bit of what? Strategic thinking? Am I going crazy here? Or is there like a pattern emerging?
Yeah.
I'm starting to think every single element in this fresco tells a story.
It's incredible, isn't it? Raphael's created this whole intricate web of symbolism. And he's inviting us to what? To unravel it, to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But, and this is key, it's not just about, you know, identifying the figures, the symbols. No, it's about understanding how they all connect, how they contribute to the bigger picture.
And speaking of a bigger picture, have you heard about that theory? That there might be like hidden astronomical references tucked away in the fresco?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Like the way the figures are positioned, maybe it's based on constellations.
It's a fascinating idea. And considering how obsessed the Renaissance was with, well, astrology and the cosmos, it wouldn't be completely out there, would it? Imagine Raphael drawing these parallels between the human search for knowledge and like the movements of the stars.
Wow. It almost makes you wonder if Raphael, if he saw the pursuit of knowledge as something, I don't know, cosmic, something that connects us to the universe itself. It's like he's urging us to look beyond the everyday, to
yeah.
really consider the vastness of what we don't know.
It all circles back to Plato's upward gaze, doesn't it? There's this yearning there, a desire to connect with something bigger than ourselves.
It's true.
And it really makes you think, is Raphael suggesting that the answers to, you know, life's big questions, that they're out there, written in the stars, perhaps?
It's like he's saying, what? Don't just look around you, look up.
Mm-hmm.
It really is awe-inspiring when you think about it like that.
It is. And that's the power of this fresco, the School of Athens.
Right.
It's not just, you know, a pretty picture. It's a call to action. It's Raphael basically saying, engage with these ideas, join this conversation. This conversation has been going on for centuries.
He's throwing down the gauntlet in a way.
He is. It's like we're being invited to, I don't know, to step right into the fresco. Pull up a chair next to those philosophers, those thinkers. So who would you choose? Plato's lofty ideas or Aristotle's grounded observations?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I'd have to mull that one over for a while.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. Everyone who looks at this fresco, they're going to take away something different. But one thing's for sure, Raphael, he wants us to think for ourselves, just like the people he's depicting.
It's so true. It reminds me that knowledge, I mean, it's not something you just passively absorb.
Definitely not.
It's something you have to actively create.
Yeah.
Through debate, discussion, even disagreement,
yeah,
right?
100%. And, you know, that brings us to another really important idea woven into this fresco, the collaborative nature of knowledge. I mean, look at it. Raphael brought together all these minds from across disciplines, cultures, even across time itself. It's a powerful reminder that we don't learn in isolation. We learn from each other.
It's true. It's like we're all part of this huge ongoing conversation, building on what came before us. And who knows, maybe like centuries from now, someone will look at a painting, maybe a sculpture from today, and see it as this reflection of our time, our thinkers, our ideas. It's like through art, we're part of this amazing dialogue that just, it transcends time.
It really does. And that's the magic of the School of Athens. It makes us curious. It pushes us to ask those questions, to really dig into these ideas, and to add our own voices to this constant pursuit of knowledge.
Oh, so to everyone listening, consider this your personal invitation. Step into Raphael's world. Explore the School of Athens. Get lost in those details. Let it, I don't know, ignite your own intellectual journey. What hidden connections, what aha moments will you find?
Well said. Because as we've seen today, sometimes the most incredible journeys, they start with just one single work of art.
Couldn't agree more. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive into Raphael's masterpiece. A huge thank you to you, our expert guide, for really bringing this work of art to life for us. And to all of you listening, keep exploring, keep those questions coming. Until next time, happy learning, everyone.